NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Sony Pictures Classics, presenting A Private Life, starring Jodie Foster as a psychiatrist who investigates the sudden death of one of her patients as a possible murder. Now playing select cities, opens wide Friday.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health's new cancer center, offering cancer clinical trials and comprehensive treatment options, all under one roof. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
It's 32 degrees in Lawrence, 28 in Manhattan. It's 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. Always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. Coming up in our next few minutes, we will meet vocalist Michael Mayo. Then news headlines at 6:30. Once we get to just about quarter of, we are going to learn more about the federal money available for local schools to test their water for lead contamination. Those stories and more still to come on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
KPR's Retro Cocktail Hour will be celebrating 30, count them, 30 years on the air, February 27th and 28th in Lawrence. You are invited. Join us for a weekend of live music, parties, and seminars. For a complete schedule of all the activities and information on how to get tickets, visit our website, kansaspublicradio.org. It is made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka.
Support for KPR comes from Panda Pediatrics, providing pediatric primary care, mental health, dental, and a walk-in clinic for children from birth to age 21 at one Lawrence location. More information at pandapeds.com.
Going to be cold tonight, lows around 16 degrees. Going to be cold tomorrow with a high in the mid-20s. It's 32 degrees in Lawrence, 31 in Topeka. It is 6:20.
With this particular case, they're not being separated. That child is in the least restrictive setting possible.
We have a dispatch from the South Texas Family Residential Center where people have been protesting. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. It's a great way to start off your day with the very latest national, international, and regional news. Matthew Algio is your local host. Join us for Morning Edition.
Support for KPR comes from Bridgehaven in Lawrence, providing family-style memory care in a home environment and 24-hour nursing care on-site. More information is at mybridgehaven.com.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 32 degrees in Lawrence, and it is 6:30.
Down over this time last year. Kirk Sigler, NPR News, Denver.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The National Transportation Safety Board presented its findings yesterday on what led to the deadly crash of an American Airlines flight from Wichita to Washington, D.C. last year. The regional jet collided with an Army Black Hawk helicopter during its approach into Washington Reagan National Airport. NTSB Chairwoman Jennifer Homendy said her group looked at several airports with helicopter traffic, and she urged lawmakers to adopt new safety measures.
We must do everything in our power, even ruffle feathers, to get our recommendations implemented, or this will happen again.
64 passengers and crew members were killed on that plane, along with three soldiers on the helicopter. The NTSB is expected to publish its final report and recommendations in the coming weeks. Well, it's increasingly likely that the Kansas City Royals will be staying in Kansas City, Missouri. Today, the Clay County, Missouri Commission officially pulled out of talks with the team about a Northland ballpark. Frank Morris has the story.
One by one, the options of places to build a baseball stadium have dropped off, leaving a ballpark in downtown Kansas City as the last widely discussed option. The Royals weighed building a new stadium on sparsely used industrial tracts in North Kansas City, but the team missed Clay County's deadline to commit to a formal proposal, and the county suspended talks. Monday, the Royals officially scratched a much-discussed site in Overland Park on the old Sprint campus grounds near 119th Street and Knoll Avenue. That leaves Washington Square Park as the last broadly publicized possibility. Crown Center surrounds two sides of the site, which is served by the streetcar and is an easy walk from Union Station or the Crossroads Arts District. I'm Frank Morris.
The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, fairly cold here for the next few days. Lows around 16 overnight. Tomorrow, cold with a high in the mid-20s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. Once again, cold this time with a low right around 10. For Friday, partly sunny, a high only reaching the teens. Friday night, probably the coldest night we will see. Lows between 0 and minus 5. On Saturday, a high around 15 degrees. For Saturday night, we do have a chance of snow after midnight and lows around 5. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes from...
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
For the new year, Morning Edition has new questions.
Are you dressed well for this interview?
This is radio, Steve. I don't have to answer.
Oh, okay, it's fine.
New interviews.
Tony Braxton, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, sis. It's so good.
And must-hear stories.
Apparently the farm had heard that cows like jazz music.
Join us for something new every weekday morning on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Start off your day with Morning Edition on your KPR stations. Both KPR 1 and KPR 2, we simulcast. 5 to 9 a.m., Matthew Algio will have your regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia. Lots of other frequencies listed for you very conveniently at kansaspublicradio.org, where we're also streaming 24 hours a day.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader's Next Audio Sale, a benefit sale of vinyl records, audio equipment, and more taking place at the Lawrence Public Library, Friday and Saturday, February 13th and 14th. Information at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
Stay tuned. We have news headlines coming up at 7:01 on your KPR One stations, immediately followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Steve Seal. If you are joining us on KPR Two, stick around for the Moth Radio Hour. Another cold night in store, lows right around 16 degrees. It is 32 degrees in Lawrence, 28 in Manhattan. It is 10 minutes before 7.
News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Easy Cater, a workplace food platform dedicated to making it easy for organizations to order food from a wide variety of restaurants, set up employee meal programs, and manage food spend. At easycater.com. From the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. From Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, which monitors safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate, at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
New year, new beginnings, new stories. Wherever 2026 takes us, Morning Edition from NPR News will be there. Stay informed with us every weekday.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We're live, we are local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Full Circle Sustainability in Topeka, on a mission to make low-waste living easier with local and low-waste groceries, soap refills, recycling, and composting. Information at fullcirclesustainability.org.
Thank you so much for joining us here at KPR. News headlines are coming your way at 7:01, then start 8, then 2 hours of classical music. Steve Seal will be your host. At 9 o'clock, we shift gears, and it's Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, low around 16 degrees tomorrow. Cloudy in the morning, giving way to sunshine in the afternoon. It's going to be cold, highs only reaching the mid-20s, down to 10 tomorrow night. Highs in the teens for Friday. It's 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Rylan Barton. The Justice Department alleges in new charges that 16 protesters in Minnesota assaulted or impeded federal immigration officers during the Trump administration's operations there. As Matt Sepik of Minnesota Public Radio reports, defense attorneys say the evidence is thin.
U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi posted the names and photos of the protesters to social media before the cases were unsealed, drawing a sharp rebuke from a federal judge. The 16 are charged by complaint with obstructing or impeding federal officers. But defense attorney Kevin Rich says a grand jury must still approve the charges.
It's not that difficult to make a case past the grand jury, but the DOJ has a history of bringing bogus prosecutions, as we have seen in recent months, and the grand jury is a good bulwark.
One defendant, a Somali-American U.S. citizen, alleges agents injured her and called her a racial slur while arresting her and questioning her citizenship. For NPR News, I'm Matt Sepik in Minneapolis.
The FBI says it's executing a, quote, court-authorized law enforcement action at an elections warehouse in Georgia. NPR's Stephen Fowler reports this is the latest salvo in the ongoing fight over baseless claims of election rigging in 2020.
The FBI wouldn't answer NPR's questions about the search warrant for the Fulton County Elections Warehouse outside of Atlanta. But Georgia's most populous county has been the subject of baseless claims of election fraud since 2020. Last month, the Justice Department filed a lawsuit seeking to gain access to Fulton County's ballots, and a state court judge recently allowed the Republican-majority state election board to move forward with a subpoena for 2020 documents, too. This as the DOJ has sued 25 states, including Georgia, seeking access to unredacted copies of their voter rolls. Stephen Fowler, NPR News, Atlanta.
At least 50 people have died across several states as a result of the winter storm that left a good portion of the United States under snow and ice. That includes at least 10 people in Kentucky. Stan Ingold of member station WEKU has more.
Governor Andy Beshear says that most of the deaths in the state were people in their 60s and 70s. The governor announced that the state will dip into its storm relief fund and offer to pay $10,000 for the funerals of each of the dead.
First thing we do in Kentucky is grieve together, and we don't want these families to have to wait for reimbursement by FEMA.
Among the dead is an inmate at the Eastern Kentucky Correctional Complex. Officials say he was working with a crew to remove snow and ice when he fell and hit his head. The death is being investigated by the Kentucky State Police. For NPR News, I'm Stan Ingold in Richmond, Kentucky.
Organizers are planning what they anticipate will be the largest No Kings protests yet over what they call authoritarianism under President Trump. The demonstrations on March 28th will focus on the immigration crackdown in Minneapolis. Organizers emphasize nonviolent resistance and ongoing training to defend constitutional rights. This is NPR News from Washington.
Stardate January 28th. The moon is a tale of two faces. The side we see, the near side, features giant volcanic plains and a fairly thin crust. The Far Side features more mountains and craters and much thicker crust. And the differences might go even deeper. The layer below the crust, the mantle, might be cooler on the Far Side, or was cooler billions of years ago. That difference is suggested by samples returned to Earth by a Chinese lander, the first samples from the Far Side. Some of the samples formed from molten rock. It cooled and solidified 2.8 billion years ago, deep inside the moon. Details about the samples suggest the molten rock was much cooler than the same layer on the near side, by about 200 degrees Fahrenheit. That's probably because the Far Side has fewer radioactive elements, which heat the interior as they decay. Just why that's the case isn't clear. A smaller moon might have splatted into the lunar Far Side when the moon was young, or a giant asteroid impact might have moved things around. The pull of Earth's gravity might have played a role as well. Whatever the cause, there's a big difference in the lunar hemispheres, which may be more than skin deep. The Gibbous moon is passing through the constellation Taurus tonight. Aldebaran, the bull's eye, is to the right of the moon at nightfall, and Elnath, at the tip of one of the bull's horns, is closer to the lower left of the moon. We have more sky-watching tips and much more about our amazing universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Thanks for tuning in tonight for classical music. My name is Steve Seal. American music from Virgil Thompson coming up, and always a popular favorite that many of us came to know with Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops growing up, as it was a big PBS staple, the George Enescu Romanian Rhapsody, a little bit later. A Jubilee Overture by Carl Maria von Weber here with Nami Yervi and the Philharmonia Orchestra. That familiar tune always sneaks up on you at the end there. The Jubilee Overture by Carl Maria von Weber, featuring a very familiar theme there towards the end. The Philharmonia Orchestra was conducted by Neeme Järvi. When is a violin a fiddle instead of a violin? Well, it's all about context, one supposes. If you're playing a Shostakovich violin concerto, you're probably not going to describe your instrument as a fiddle, unless you're being cheeky. Bluegrass or folk, that's another story. Chris Thiele plays mandolin and fiddle. Sometimes if he's playing a serious piece of music, you might see him credited with the violin. But on the latest collaboration with Yo-Yo Ma and Edgar Meyer, it's all about the fiddle. And another fiddler joined the proceedings as well, Stuart Duncan. The CD is Goat Rodeo. And this is the tune credited to all of them. And it's called Where's My Bow? What a piece. Edgar Meyer, Chris Thiele, Stuart Duncan, and Yo-Yo Ma. And it's from the Goat Rodeo Sessions CD, and that tune is called Where's My Bow? The title apparently comes from a moment when the four players at the end of a performance had a silly moment when they all decided spontaneously to cross their bows in victory like the Musketeers. But Thiele didn't have a bow because he'd been playing his mandolin, and then he proceeded to drop his pick on the ground. He says, running everything. So, where's my bow?
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. And Kansas City PBS, turning viewer support into educational, arts, and news programming with the Kansas City PBS membership program. More information at kansascitypbs.org. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 31 and fair. Wind is from the east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-teens. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low teens. It's 31 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Virgil Thompson's Cello Concerto, 20th Century American Music here, with Yehudi Hanani playing the cello on the RTE National Symphony Orchestra, conducted by William Eddins.
Thank you.
Cello Concerto by Virgil Thompson, as played there by cellist Yehuda Hanani, with the RTE National Symphony Orchestra, led by William Eddins.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, as well as online at kansaspublicradio.org. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Full Circle Sustainability in Topeka, offering recycling and composting services, package-free groceries, and locally grown food. More details at FullCircleSustainability.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 28 and fair. Wind is from the north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-teens. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low teens. It's 28 and fair. That's KPR weather.
So here is music of Georges Enescu. And if you're of a certain age, maybe you remember watching Arthur Fiedler lead the Boston Pops regularly in this piece on Saturday nights on PBS. Thank you. Romanian Rhapsody number 1 by George Enescu with Christian Machalaru and the French National.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 28 and fair. Wind is from the north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-teens. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low teens. It's 28 and fair. That's KPR weather.
A respected colleague who was very smart and also very funny once described the Beethoven quartets as being kind of like cheese. The early quartets are soft and smooth, a nice medium cheddar, perhaps. I would never say mild. This is still Beethoven, after all. The middle quartets, perhaps a tangy smoked Gouda, or a nice aged Havarti. Well, the late quartets, oh, a really rich Roquefort, maybe a Brie. This is the gourmet stuff. Maybe the little currant jam spread on top with a nice table water wafer as your delivery vehicle. Beethoven's last quartet.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Another winter storm is headed for the eastern U.S., and NPR's Debbie Elliott reports frigid temperatures persist in the south as the region tries to dig out of last weekend's snow and ice storm.
The National Weather Service says the next blast of Arctic air coming Friday could result in the longest duration of bitter cold in several decades. A freeze warning will dip down into Florida. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves says that complicates recovery efforts.
It's going to be brutally cold again in the state of Mississippi, and so that creates a large number of other challenges, particularly for those who have not yet gotten power back, particularly for those whose water systems are not back operating and functioning exactly the way they need to.
The University of Mississippi says its campus in Oxford will remain closed for a second week. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
The government has announced the next batch of drugs that will get their prices negotiated in Medicare. They include Trulicity for type 2 diabetes, as well as drugs for HIV, cancer, and migraines.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will negotiate the prices of 15 more drugs. This is the third batch the program will negotiate since gaining this ability as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. It will also renegotiate the Medicare price of type 2 diabetes pill Tradjenta, which was part of the second round of negotiations completed last year. The law lays out which drugs are eligible for selection in this process. Criteria include being on the market a number of years, not having generic or biosimilar competition, and being among drugs Medicare spends the most money on. Negotiation will take place this summer and fall, and prices will go into effect in 2028. Sydney Lupkin, NPR News.
New York City is facing its largest fiscal crisis since the Great Recession, a projected budget shortfall of $12 billion. Steve Kestenbaum says the new mayor announced his proposed fix today.
Mayor Zoran Mamdani blamed the huge shortfall on his predecessor in City Hall.
While we did not create this crisis, we will solve it.
To plug the gap, he wants to follow through on a campaign promise.
The time has come to tax the richest New Yorkers and most profitable corporations.
To do that, he'll need the support of Governor Kathy Hochul at a time when she's walking a political tightrope in her reelection campaign, balancing pressure from her party's progressive wing while appealing to moderate voters. Democrats are reluctant to raise taxes at a time when they hope to win back some Republican-held congressional seats here. For NPR News, I'm Steve Kastenbaum in New York.
The 2026 tax filing season is likely to face significant challenges due to IRS workforce reductions and complex tax law changes. The IRS has seen a 27% reduction in staff since the start of President Trump's second administration. This is NPR News.
On this week's episode of Research Matters.
Well, I love my research and I love what KU is doing and how KU is contributing to the community. And me being part of KU has been a wonderful thing for me.
That KU graduate researcher is studying ways to turn trash into treasure, turning farm waste into biofuels.
My name is Clement Feijimi. I'm a first-year PhD student in mechanical engineering in KU. I'm currently researching biomass gasification and combustion.
Gasification is an emerging technology that uses a high-temperature process that converts carbon-based substances to syngas and even synthetic fuels. How is this process being used today?
Coal is generally used, but because of the environmental concern, we're moving towards more organic and sustainable substances.
As a more sustainable source, you've been looking into farm waste, the leftovers from farming after harvest. How are you doing this?
So the process is more taking the waste from farmland and looking at their chemical composition and try to see what reaction they can undergo to give us the particular fuel we need.
Besides the environmental advantages, how could this one day help the average Kansas farmer?
So we know that waste disposal is a great concern. So for an average farmer in Kansas, if they can, let's say, a way to generate income from the waste on farm, it's going to be a benefit to them because they can look at this waste and see a way of getting more income from them.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
By Chopin. I'm Steve Seal. Good evening. Thanks for coming along for our classical music on this Wednesday night. Beethoven's final string quartet in about 15 minutes tonight. And speaking of endings, do we still say it isn't over till the fat lady sings? I don't know. That was, of course, an expression for generations. I don't know if that's still politically correct to say that. Fat, not really a word you hear in common parlance the way that we used to, but the reference is to Wagner. As Brunhilde has her final aria at the end of Gerterdammerung, the Twilight of the Gods, when Valhalla comes burning down. And it isn't over, of course, because Wagner's operas are tremendously long and filled with not just a lot of singing, but a lot of long stretches of really marvelous instrumental music as well. Dawn and Siegfried's Rhine Journey from Gershwitzdammerung by Wagner. Dawn and Siegfried's Rhine Journey from Götterdämmerung, The Twilight of the Gods by Richard Wagner, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra conducted by Daniel Barenboim.
Hi, I'm Mary Louise Kelly. At NPR and this station, we take our democratic role as watchdogs seriously. We hold the powerful to account, and we hold ourselves to a set of core principles: integrity, independence, accuracy, transparency, and respect for the public we serve. This is NPR News.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 28 and fair. Wind is from the north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-teens. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low teens. It's 28 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Beethoven's Last String Quartet is number 16. It was also the last major work that he completed. This is the Kalidor String Quartet, the String Quartet number 16 in F major by Beethoven. Beethoven's final string quartet and his final major composition as well. His string quartet number 16 in F major, played there by the Calidore String Quartet.
Hi, it's Daryl Brogdon. The Retro Cocktail Hour turns 30 this year, and we're throwing a bunch of parties to celebrate. On February 27th and 28th, hope you'll join us for two nights of live music, including Exotica Cocktail. And all the way from L.A., the band called Nutty.
Acting nutty, but I don't know why. Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Tickets for everything are on sale right now. Find the complete event schedule at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 28 and fair. Wind is from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-teens. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low teens. It's 28 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
It's from the contemporary composer Michael Abels. And we're going to get to hear the brothers, Anthony and Damare McGill, clarinet and flute, respectively, here with the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra led by Alan Tinkham. Here's Winged Creatures by Michael Abels. Thank you. Anthony and Demare McGill, clarinet and flute, brothers, and Alan Tinka with the Chicago Youth Symphony, Winged Creatures by Michael Abels.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area.
It's 28 and fair.
Wind is from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-teens. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low teens. It's 28 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The killing of Alex Preddy by federal agents in Minneapolis last weekend has outraged people across the country, but as NPR's Frank Lankvit reports, some Trump supporters remain happy with the administration's enforcement of immigration laws.
Todd Mason is a Trump supporter who lives on Maryland's Eastern Shore. He supports the ICE sweeps in Minneapolis and blames activists for the violence there.
It's unfortunate, and it's sad because if they would let the ICE officers just go do their job and not stop them or impede them from doing their job, it's creating this hostile environment.
A recent CNN SSRS poll taken before Preddy's killing found a big partisan split on this. 8 in 10 Democrats, or those who lean Democratic, think ICE is making cities less safe, while 2/3 of Republicans and those who lean Republican think ICE is making them safer. Frank Lankford, NPR News, Denton, Maryland.
Nashville is still reeling from the massive winter storm that led to at least 3 deaths and left more than 100,000 without power there. Cynthia Abrams from member station WPLN reports the National Guard has been called in to help.
The National Guard will be focused on clearing trees that have fallen across the city, says Nashville's Fire Department Chief William Swan.
Their job will be to remove trees, and that's their only objective, is to assist us into helping to restore power.
Tens of thousands of Nashvillians have gone days without power, with no clear timeline of when electricity and heat could be restored. And the situation is dangerous. Nashville's police department said Wednesday it was investigating a weather-related death in the city tied to carbon monoxide poisoning. For NPR News, I'm Cynthia Abrams in Nashville.
Stocks showed little change today after the Federal Reserve voted to hold interest rates steady. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the decision was widely expected.
Members of the Fed's rate-setting committee voted 10-2 to leave their benchmark rate unchanged. The Fed had lowered interest rates at 3 previous meetings out of concern over the softening job market. But Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says there are some signs the unemployment rate is stabilizing, while inflation is still higher than the central bank would like.
We see the current stance of monetary policy as appropriate to promote progress toward both our maximum employment and 2% inflation goals.
Powell will likely preside over 2 more rate-setting meetings before his term as Fed chairman expires in May. President Trump is expected to nominate a new leader for the central bank soon. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The FBI says it's executing what it calls a court-authorized law enforcement action at a location in Georgia that is home to the Fulton County Election Office. In December, the Department of Justice sued Fulton County for records relating to the 2020 election. Fulton County has been at the center of President Trump's baseless claims of election fraud. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. When the Supreme Court granted an unusually quick hearing over President Trump's tariff powers, a similarly fast resolution seemed possible, but nearly 3 months have elapsed since arguments in the closely watched case, and the court isn't scheduled to meet in public for more than 3 weeks. The timeline for deciding the tariffs case now looks like it'll be the normal back and forth that occurs in all the disputes the justices hear. Tickets are on sale for pop star Harry Styles' upcoming tour, but fans have been critical of Ticketmaster and Styles about high ticket prices. NPR's Ayanna Archie wondered, how much control do artists have over this?
It largely depends on the artist. Before going on tour, artists usually set revenue targets. These can be based on how complex a show is to produce and who needs to get paid. It's up to promoters to market the show and hit those revenue targets. They may do this by selling merchandise or parking packages, but ticket sales steer the ship. Artists also have the option to sign up for Ticketmaster's face value exchange program. This way, people can't sell their ticket for more than what they paid for it. But tickets sold this way can't be transferred, which could be a problem for large groups. So Ticketmaster says some artists opt out. NPR has reached out to Harry Styles' team to see if he'll sign up, but hasn't heard back. Ayanna Archie, NPR News.
The TV drama Heated Rivalry has gained unexpected popularity in Russia despite the country's anti-LGBTQ plus laws. The show's about a secret gay relationship between Canadian and Russian hockey players. Restrictions limit access to such content, but Russians are finding ways to watch it illegally. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
guitarist Dave Stryker in his version of Summer Night here on Kansas Public Radio. Not exactly summery weather, but we could think about a pleasantly warm summer night while listening to Dave Stryker with Jared Gold organ, McClenny Hunter drums. I'm Bob McWilliams here with you on KPR's Jazz in the Night. It is our first Wednesday night new release spotlight of the year. New releases slow down a lot around the holidays, but they're starting to build up some, so I've started the new release hour back up. We just heard from Dave Stryker's new album, Blue Fire, the Van Gelder session, and we've got three others that we'll hear from this hour, two tracks each here on KPR, with the new one from pianist Lisa Hilton next. The album is called Extended Daydream, and this is a piece called Momentary Mystery. Lisa Hilton on KPR. We'll be right back.